MLB, NBA, NHL, NFL, Score Big has all the sports tickets you want at up to 60% off. It's easy to use. I've used it myself. All you got to do is log on to sportsgamblingpodcast.com and click the Score Big icon. Score Big, the lead pipe lock for great game tickets. Welcome, everyone, to the Sports Gambling Podcast. I am Sean, stacking the money green with my partner in picks, Ryan, Real Money Kramer. Ryan, what do you think about the recent announcement today that RG3 will no longer be starting for the Washington Redskins moving on for the rest of the season?
Makes sense. I mean, it's a little odd after they rushed him back, but... I mean, what are you going to do?
Wow.
They're not, I mean, there's no benefit to them playing him anymore.
But everyone's saying, and I think there's some truth to it, that this is Mike Shanahan trying to get fired. That essentially he's pulling a George Costanza. That's what the guy over at Pro Football Talk said. He compared it to him trying to pull Costanza, basically because he leaked that first article about him not being happy with the relationship between the owner, and now he's trying to get fired. Basically, he doesn't want to coach next year, and he wants to get paid his $7 million.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like Snyder's already exploring ways to fire him with cause. So, I don't know. I mean, we got to get over these coaches that just aren't. The Redskins are, this is the second time now. Dan Reeves and then Shanahan. It's like sometimes they were good at their time, and they were probably good because they had a revolutionary idea, which Shanahan did. And guess what? Everyone does that now. It's not revolutionary anymore.
Yeah, the game. Let's take in the fact that the game could just pass you by. Literally, I mean, he was given whatever he wanted for the most part, right?
Well, I think it's an interesting point too, right? I think the big difference between a coach like, I'll use Parcells and Belichick as like the coaches that last through time versus when coaches are like kind of like player driven or like a certain type of player and a certain type of, not really, I don't know how to put it. It's not really a system thing. It's you come in, you compete, you play hard. I mean, you've seen, look at Parcells and Belichick over the years change the way their teams are made up. You look at like a Shanahan, for example, or really even a Dan Reeves in a way, and they kind of just run the same thing over and over and over. They don't really adapt. They're kind of like the Mike D'Antonis of the world, where they don't adapt to their...
Yeah, but Dan Reeves, I don't know if I can put... Dan Reeves, I felt like his run with Atlanta was fairly successful, no?
Sorry, not Dan Reeves. Who am I talking? Joe Gibbs is who I meant to say.
Oh, okay.
I just think there's guys that they have their system and they're not aware of how to adjust correctly.
Yeah.
And when their system works, it works, and when it doesn't, they struggle to make adjustments. I mean, you're seeing it this year, just small sample size, but look at a coach like Chip Kelly as compared to a coach like, I don't know, give me an example of a team that's just Minnesota.
Yeah.
Or
Atlanta.
Atlanta's a good example of a team that they're still trying to run the same offense that they ran that works great when you have Julio Jones and Roddy White both out there. But when you have a banged-up Roddy White and no Julio Jones, that system and no offensive line, it doesn't really work, and they're not able to make those adjustments.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think Shanahan just seems like a giant prick anyway. I mean, look,
Here's
what's going to happen. Daniel Snyder's going to say, hey, we'll keep you, but you got to fire your son. That's going to be his option, I think.
Ooh.
I think.
So
if you
want to
stay,
Kyle
you got to fire your son.
Gets together with Monty Kiffin to create the ultimate superpower in coaching tandem.
Yeah. Bizarro, like, father-son.
Horrible comment.
Monty Kiffin no longer has a son since his son fired him, and Kyle Shanahan no longer has a father. It's a match made in heaven.
Now you see this as kind of like a sitcom, like, yeah. I have no dad. I have no son. Let's form the ultimate team.
Yeah, you know, like, Monty Kiffin is played by Larry David, and and Kyle Shanahan's played by the dude who played Napoleon Dynamite.
John Heater.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be great. Ryan,
we're on to something, Sean.
I know, I like it. Quick stat here. There's been three, I think I'm pulling this from the Dan Patrick Show, but I've heard a couple of people say it, three games in which there was no punts, two of which involved the Dallas Cowboys. One, of course, was the Monday night recent debacle.
Are you saying this season?
Yeah, three games this season where there were no punts, two involved offenses going up against the Dallas Cowboys. Doesn't even include the New Orleans Saints, who punted once in their blowout win.
Very interesting.
Not good times for the Dallas Cowboys, Ryan. All right, let's...
I have another stat for you.
Yeah, lay it on me.
And I don't know if I read this or if I heard it on a podcast or something, but the games that were in cold weather this past weekend, I believe were 8-1 in the over. And the games indoors or in warm weather were 1-4 for the over. Or 4-1 for the under.
Yeah, overs went 11-5, and it was a record for the number of touchdowns scored, even with all the cold weather. That's a gambling myth that I don't know how it's not dispelled yet, but people, whenever they see that snow or whatever, they just immediately start pounding the under. And well, I get that sentiment. It makes sense, but really, it seems like, from my experiences, just anecdotally, that it almost works the other way, where the over ends up being a good play because...
To be fair, I mean, you have to look at a couple of the games and say that there was a lot of very fluky... Look, you know, 28 points scored in the last minute, 50 seconds.
No, but that's what I'm saying. That's almost like...
No, I agree, but...
That the fluke plays become more prevalent. You're going to get turnovers. You're going to get increased returns for touchdowns because guys can't make sharp angles. It's easier to end up... Basically, it ends up becoming an advantage once the offense figures out the way they can cut.
I don't disagree with anything you just said. I'm just saying that this past weekend, there were three occurrences of very, very abnormal activity for any NFL game. And that's, you know, for any team to score 28 points or for any game to have 28 points in the fourth quarter is relatively rare. For any game to have 28 points in the final 2 minutes is very rare. And lastly, for a team to score two touchdowns needing an onside kick between that is exceptionally rare. So I guess my point is I kind of agree with you. I think there's usually value in overs in bad weather games because, as we've talked about before, there's really one thing that makes it difficult for offenses while not hurting the defense, and that's strong winds.
Yeah.
But like you said, icy field, you know, cold, icy fields.
Slick.
You can't cut. You're not as sure as yourself.
Look at that Eagles game. Their offense got going once they figured out how to cut and once they kind of got better feeding.
But, I would say regardless of the weather in that game, I think the outcome was relatively fluky in that they scored all those points at the end.
Right. I'm just saying those fluke occurrences seem to happen more in the crazy weather because – you're more prone to fluke plays, busted coverages, blown assignments on returns. That guy.
But the Baltimore game was the one that's a real killer. I mean, the game's 12-7 with 2 minutes left.
Yeah, now that's insane.
So.
All right, let's get to the Week 14 action, Thursday night. I like the Houston Texans, Ryan. I thought this was a go-against game for the Jags. I thought Houston would have their... be able to pull some out here. Going on the road, Jags staying strong at home, 27-20, winning outright as a 3-point dog. Everyone was also thinking the under. No, Jags.
It's so annoying, Sean. We talked. This is like maybe the fifth or sixth time I've done this year where it's obvious that Jacksonville's the play, but for some reason I get in my own head and I made a small play on Houston.
So
didn't work out. But yeah, Jacksonville. Man, looking like I there's a decent chance I cash my Jacksonville over 5 wins. Also,
yeah,
Jacksonville. This is all that has to happen for Jacksonville to make the playoffs.
This is crazy.
Yeah. Jacksonville has to win out, of course, to get to 7-9.
Right.
Miami has to lose all 3 of their games. They play the Pats, the Jets, and the Bills.
Okay.
Unlikely, division but possible. Games. Baltimore has to lose out. They have the Lions, the Pats, and the Bengals. That's much more realistic. Jets have to go 1-2. And
but
of course,
it's a specific 1-2, right?
Yeah, they have to win the game against Miami and lose to the Panthers and the Browns again. So they have to lose the Panthers and Browns the next 2 weeks and then beat the Dolphins. San Diego has to go 1-2. They have the Broncos, Raiders, and Chiefs. Again, not outside the realm of possibility.
And that's it.
No, and Pittsburgh needs to lose 1 game.
Okay.
I don't know. That's the fact that they have a shot is remarkable.
Yeah, coming from 8-0 and outside shot to finish 7-9. Hit your win total over. I mean, there was props going on earlier in the season. Will Jacksonville win
a game?
Yeah. Crazy. And I of course love that for them to win a game. I was down on them, but you got to give them credit. They seemingly turned things around. The team's playing hard. Ryan, man. We got shabbed, though, because this game, Houston was driving down 4th-and-2, just outside the red zone there. Oh, and just Matt Schaub, crossing route right in front of him, had the first down, just did not see the receiver or just chose not to throw it to him. Tough break.
I mean, at this point, is it really a bad break? I don't know. It seems like it's just what he does.
There's a reason he's on the bench. All right, Cincinnati Bengals at home against the Indianapolis Colts. We felt pretty good about this play, Ryan. Both had the Bengals here laying 6.5. I obviously like it a little better at 6, but anything up to 7, this was a play on. This Indy team it's not played well on the road especially. And Bengals blew him out 42-28.
And once again, we go by another week of Andrew Luck having a average at best game with no talk about his struggles.
Yeah.
He's looked awful at times, and he's getting a pass from the media. It's very strange.
Well, I think part of it is they are still – I think they just clinched their division, correct?
Did they? That's crazy.
So at 8-5, they are returning to the playoffs. You get a pass there. And also their defense has just been that bad that it's tough to – like his play has not been good. And I like making excuses for Andrew Luck, no doubt. But the defense has just been so atrociously bad that it's tough to get to him as far as the blame. Atlanta Falcons went into Green Bay. Matt Flynn came out with a victory. Not a cover, though. Green Bay 22, Atlanta 21. I think I picked Green Bay here on the podcast.
Yep.
Spread was what, 3? 3.5?
3.5.
Just didn't like Atlanta going outside, but I don't know. Back and forth game here. Some long field goals. If you're a Green Bay fan, you got to be bummed. Sounds like Aaron Rodgers will not make a go out of it.
Well, he's supposed to address the media. He's practicing. He's doing the individual stuff. He's working with the backups. He's supposed to address the media Thursday. Yeah, I don't know. Pretty crazy how bad this Packers team is without him.
Huge. Huge swing.
It sounds like the Packers are pessimistic that he'll get cleared. So
yeah, that's what I was reading. Sounds like he's not going to go against Dallas, which unfortunate for me. Cleveland Browns went to New England. Had a victory all sealed up, but oh no. Here come the New England Patriots. Crazy comeback. Onside kick recovery. Classic New England Patriots late win.
So we should have mentioned it. Atlanta was the first game that was like down to the wire. Game ends, and then this New England game. I mean, this was one of the craziest endings to a single block of games I've ever witnessed. I mean, we talked about this, Sean, as we were watching, but how often does a team down by more than 11 points, they're down by 12, I believe, so they need a touchdown, a two-point, or a touchdown, a onside kick, and a touchdown. And I believe when they got the ball, it was already past the two-minute warning, correct?
Sounds about right.
How often does that happen, would you say?
Oh, that's insanely
once every three seasons?
Oh, it's got to be even more than that. Because just to get the odds of recovering an expected onside kick are 1 out of 10.
Yeah.
So even if you just had the onside kick, that's 1 out of 10. Then you throw in the odds of those two late touchdowns. It's pretty crazy.
Especially in a game where they couldn't move the ball. It's so weird how all of a sudden they were just able to move the ball. And
I thought New England would run away with it. Obviously, the Gronk injury really going to hurt them, especially in the playoffs.
Yeah, now, Sean, I was kind of touting it all season, but I feel stronger about it now than I have all season. NFC, if you can still find the NFC plus points for the Super Bowl, at this point, you got to grab it, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's out of pick everywhere.
Is it now?
I feel like. I would have to look. But
Even a pick.
Who's not favored?
I mean, I think at this point, Seattle's probably, what, minus two against Denver?
Well, especially the cold weather, yeah. Like we talked about. The cold weather factors in here in this Super Bowl play.
Yeah, I just think, and I have a feeling Denver's not going to be representing the AFC in the Super Bowl. So if you take NFC Pick'em, you're basically just betting that Denver won't make it. And what if you get lucky and, like, Cincinnati ends up getting through? I mean, since...
Cincinnati, Kansas City, Indiana...
Jacksonville.
Baltimore.
Oh, that would be the greatest story ever if Jacksonville goes on this run and all the way... They're the hot team this year.
Starting out at 0-8.
Yeah.
All right, Ryan. The New York football Jets at home look to take care of business against the Raiders. I forget in the Hilton contest, I know we had the Jets. I think on
yeah,
the podcast.
Yeah, I know you have the Raiders because you questioned my taking the Jets.
Yes, I did. I remember that. And, well, you were right, Ryan.
Oakland going east. Jets having two bad games in a row. Settle down. The defense kind of. I know they scored points, but the defense is really who won this game for them.
Well, you know what it was? My roommate's a Jets fan, and just to watch him.
His pessimism.
Watch him watch the games and just. Trying to talk to him about football in general. The just general rejection of the idea of football made it tough for me to pick the Jets here. But, yeah, turns out that was the play. And I didn't think Jets could find a way to score, but somehow Geno Smith came back.
Well, the defense helped them with short fields, and I believe they scored a touchdown. Might have been a special teams block punt or something.
That always does help. Ryan?
Yes.
The snowball, as they're calling it. The Detroit Lions went to Philadelphia, jumped out to a 14-0 lead. Not big enough for Nick Foles and the fighting Philadelphia Eagles. LeSean McCoy went off, setting an NFL record for the most rush yards in the fourth quarter and a franchise record for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yep. And guess what, guys? For those of you who didn't witness this, which is probably all of you, this was a great game. As someone who bet on the Eagles, it was a great game. But also as someone who got to watch it with Sean, the Eagles did not look. I mean, I would say that if I had interviewed, honestly, I'm going to say that you going into halftime, you probably thought the Eagles were going to lose the game and they'd kind of blown their chances.
Yeah.
Which led you to start enjoying some cocktails. Were you drinking whiskey and beer?
Well, what happened was I started out with just a light Irish coffee.
Yep.
And then once around halftime hit, and I was just going to go into my shell of getting drunk and then passing out for the late games, so I decided to kind of add some octane to it.
So for those of you who don't know.
Couldn't find a mixer, so I just went coffee with the mixer.
Yeah. So for those of you who don't know, and I guess I didn't really realize it all the way. It makes sense why you kept spilling your coffee. For those of you who don't know... this is something that typically doesn't happen until the late games because it's not till after the loss. But due to the way the game was going and the relative inability for the Eagles to move the ball, Sean figured he'd get a head start. And whoa, this comeback was amplified by the by Sean's blood alcohol level.
I was jacked up, man.
Oh yeah,
not gonna lie.
Yeah, I mean, look, I had a lot of money on the Eagles. I had, of course, the Eagles. And Jets were two of our plays in the Las Vegas
hotel contest.
So look, I mean, I was the same way going into halftime. I was like, all right, well, we're not getting this one right. And Especially with the fact that they kept going for two. I just had this feeling like it was going to end up being a two-point game.
Well, especially the Eagles, at one point when they were coming back, they were up, I think, 22-20. And the spread in the Las Vegas Hotel contest was 2.5. Yeah.
So Detroit goes for two, and I'm like, I felt like we needed that to happen. So worst case, it ends up going to overtime. Little did I know the Eagles were about to score two touchdowns.
Crazy.
So yeah, it was a good game, and I'm gonna say the same thing I've been saying every week, and I hate saying it, but I feel like the Eagles are the only team that can go into Seattle and beat Seattle.
Look out, Seattle.
Reverse jinx action.
Miami Dolphins went into Pittsburgh. Interesting game here, you think? Miami, cold weather.
Yeah, worst game with the best finish in a long time.
Yeah.
The game was so bad, it was barely on the red zone. We didn't watch much of it. I went back and watched the recap. It was a pretty boring game. Considering all the scoring and whatnot, it wasn't a very exciting game. But that the way it ended with the almost
crazy
lateral, like, fuck around play.
Wow. And they had it too. They had it.
He had it. He just,
stepped out barely. Oh, too crazy. Tampa Bay Bucks at home against the Bills. Laying only 2.5 points.
I believe this was my lock last week.
Yeah. So. We were huge on this play. I know I cashed a nice ticket on Tampa there. Man, that felt like easy money. I don't know what people were thinking that they would see out of this Bills team.
And it's one of those situations. You get a bet on team versus a bet against team. It's just like, how do you – and the line's 2.5?
How is that not 3?
I don't know.
Or 3.5? I mean, Make me think.
I don't know.
Sometimes it's too easy, Ryan.
I don't know.
Now, this game, I got to be honest. The Washington Redskins at home against the Kansas City Chiefs. I was suspect about both teams. I mean, Kansas City, they don't really have a lot to play for. Non-conference on the road. Maybe Washington shows up, but no. They get smacked hard by the Chiefs 45-10. I went with the Chiefs, but I honestly was kind of maybe thinking the home dog there, but glad I stuck with the Chiefs.
They kept dangling the hook, and that was the big deal. They were dangling the hook on us. And
trying you to get to take that bait.
Yeah, and God damn, the Redskins suck.
So awesome. So awesome and so awful. Minnesota Vikings went into Baltimore, lost the game 29-26. Man, what a crazy finish. Multiple returns for touchdowns late. Tony Gebhardt's fumble that clearly was not a fumble. To the point that the NFL called Leslie Frazier and apologized for the
Wait, who was that?
Tony Gebhardt.
All right. I was going to say.
Wait, it's Toby Gebhardt.
No, you said Tony Gebhardt. Yeah,
yeah,
that's it.
Totally
that's
fucked
good.
It up.
That was nice, though. You haven't done that in a while, Sean.
I know. But what's there to say about this game? Just crazy finish. Baltimore getting hot. And Minnesota just seems like a good playoff team right now. Although I had Ravens.
No, you know what? I'd be careful. They're starting to work Cordell Patterson in the they're an interesting team.
I guess
team.
I meant just like a team that's kind of packing it in.
But I don't know, though.
From the spread point of view?
Maybe. I think the fact that they've already said, like, Leslie Frazier's our coach next year, so there's not that kind of, like, player thought, like, oh, we're not going to deal with these coaches anymore after the season. You still have to impress them. So I'm not so quick to – I'm not so sure I'm going to be looking to fade this team.
All right, Ryan. Tennessee Titans went into Denver.
God, how did Tennessee not cover this
game? Kept it close for a while, and then
Denver kept it close. They were up 2 touchdowns. I mean, there's no reason Denver should have covered this game. God, Ryan Fitzmagic, Fitzpatrick. I didn't bet it, but I definitely had picked Tennessee in the pick 'em. It was
I did as well. Denver just does this with these double digit spreads. They lull you to sleep, keeping it close in the first half, and then just...
Yep, we talked about it, too. Denver's second half, and they dropped out the line. It was 8 like we expected, and we're like, let's leave it alone. Of course, easy money.
St. Louis Rams went into Arizona, got shellacked 30-10. Did not cover the 6.5 point. I thought St. Louis would keep it a little closer than that and pick them with getting the 6.5.
New rule, Sean. What's up? We got to write this down in our book, the same one that says bet on Jacksonville and Tampa at home the rest of the season. And this might hold true going forward. I'm not playing this team when they're not playing on turf.
St. Louis, yeah.
They I heard an interesting article a couple years back. It was from a former GM who talked about how you have to scout defensive ends and cornerbacks differently who play on turf, and how different being an edge rusher or a cornerback on turf is versus on grass. And I think this team kind of is that kind of bottled up. They just don't look the same on the road. They don't look the same.
No, they don't. I just thought they'd be able to hang a little bit with Arizona.
Arizona in the playoff race, Sean?
They're right there in the wild card, and if it wasn't for their division, they would. I mean, their record is that of a division winner.
And they're not in the playoffs right now.
No, they're not. And it's going to be tough to break in because they got to either knock out San Francisco or Carolina. Both teams, people are penciling in for the playoffs, so it's going to be tough. New York Giants went to San Diego, laid a gigantic egg. Eli threw a couple picks. Chargers got shellacked 37-14. Ryan, what are we looking at for next year? Who's staying? Who's going? What's changing?
You know, this is the first, and I guess situationally, it's a game that even if you're bad, you still can let down. Cross country, non-conference, but this is the first.
Or you mean if you're good.
Good or bad, I guess I'm saying it. It's one of those games.
Bad spot.
It's a bad spot, but man, they didn't look like they wanted to be there. First time I've seen a Giants team not look like they wanted to be there in a while. Now, that being said, the positive spin from a Giants fan perspective, even though the season's over, is they're looking ahead to Seattle. Maybe that's their statement game. I don't know. I think you'll end up seeing Knicks leave, get a big contract. Other than that, I think you'll see them, or they better, just it's got to be all about the offensive line in the offseason. It's got to be. I don't think, look, they had a lot of injuries at offensive line, cornerback. I'm not worried about the defense. I think John Beeson came in. He'll be there. He'll stick around. And the defensive line, I mean, whatever. They're as good as the situation they're playing in.
Now, what about Tom Coughlin? Any consideration he's not back next year?
No, come on. Dude, look, Mike Ditka got his shit retired. They won one Super Bowl. I mean, Tom Coughlin
won
too.
Yeah, but that was a different era. People are much more patient back in the 80s.
Oh, no, I agree, but I'm saying you're a two-time Super Bowl champion. The players like you. The ownership likes you. There's no reason to stir the pot. I mean, look, they're going to end up winning, what, six, seven games, and with the amount they've had the most games lost to injury in the NFL this season.
Maybe they need to check out Chip Kelly's workout regimen.
Maybe. I mean, if there's one thing I'll say about Coughlin is the Giants seem to have a lot of hammy injuries. So
maybe there is something to.
But no, I think you know, look, the Giants were very fortunate in 07, 08, 09 injury wise, and it's, you know, everything regresses. It's catching up with them.
Seattle Seahawks went into San Francisco, played an okay game. San Francisco obviously really needed this game to stay in the playoff hunt. Seattle didn't really need it.
No, they didn't. And
Seattle,
they still covered.
Yeah. We had them getting 2.5 or 3. Felt pretty good about it just because Seattle's so good. Fortunate to get that cover. But, hey, what are you going to do? Cash that ticket.
I wouldn't say it was too fortunate. I mean,
I guess it sounded like, I don't know, I don't remember the game.
Yeah, San Francisco basically had a big play before the end of the half that led to a touchdown and a big play at the end of the game that led to a field goal. That was it. They weren't really doing much else. So, if anything, I would say that Seattle was the better team, and I think Seattle wins this game in San Francisco maybe 6 or 7 out of 10 times.
Not scared of this 49ers team, especially on the road.
No, their offense is garbage. I don't care if Crabtree's back and all this other shit. It's not the receivers. It's Kaepernick. And if a guy isn't running
Looks stiff, man.
If a guy isn't running across the field wide open on that like 10 to 15 yard crossing route that he throws, he doesn't know what to do with the ball.
New Orleans Saints at home. like we said, prime time.
Yep, I'm an idiot.
Well, I mean, to your credit, Ryan, you were on the Carolina train early. You got a lot of gravy from that gravy train.
Yeah, no,
you
but
stayed on maybe one stop too long.
It's just, and I do this, I probably do this 10 to 15 times a year. I just do things that are stupid. And there's certain teams that you only can back at home. It's like, look, I'm never going to look to back Detroit on the road. I'll look to back them at home. Seattle and New Orleans are on a different level. In those games, you don't back the other team.
Especially,
you either lay off or
play
the home team.
Time.
Forget any of that. Just
I mean, it's the same feeling I had when I had the Saints getting six points in Seattle.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's...
Somehow they were still able to figure it out, the plane, the short week.
Yeah.
Drew Brees at home, prime time, with the way their defense is playing, they're just murdering teams. Going to be a tough out if they get some home games here. All right, and Ryan, the Monday night battle. Oh. Ooh, the Twitter boards were fire, red hot.
Yeah.
A lot of trash talk between Vicious V and Frisco Warrior.
Oh.
Guys going back and forth on the Twitter handle.
Sean, I got to tell you.
Got a little heated. I was getting
so concerned. I sit in a, I have a cubicle at work. It's like a kind of an area.
Yeah.
And so my phone's usually not in my pocket. I put it on my desk, throw it on vibrate. And it was vibrating for like a solid 10 minutes straight. Like the guy next to me was just like, what's going on, man? Like, I was like, you got to see this, man. These guys are going head to head on Twitter.
It was
battling it out.
It was, I mean, as an outsider, it was entertaining. And
yeah, I enjoyed
my
it.
My favorite part was the big screen off when they were talking.
Oh, two favorite parts. The big screen off was good. It was
both
solid.
Great TVs, guys.
But I also really enjoyed the shot of the watch Frisco Warrior was wearing, and he very very clever to have a his second cell phone with the Sports Gambling Podcast
I like
in the background.
I like that. Appreciate that shout out.
Yeah.
Site looks good on a mobile device.
Yeah, not bad.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah, Frisco Warrior, he gets hot with his picks. He does a couple screenshots of his Bentley or his fancy watch. People want to take him down a peg, go back and forth. It's all in good fun. Like to see the guys mix it up.
You know what I like the most? I like dudes proving it. Because, Sean, as you know, we also – well, at least I tried. I try to post almost everything I bet on. Sometimes, I've been trying to get it out earlier in the week so I don't forget Sunday morning when I wake up late hungover. But
yeah,
I like the full disclosure.
Well, and that's the thing. If you guys send in picks, I usually try and get on them and retweet them.
Yeah.
Sometimes I miss them, but – hey, you throw the picks out there. It's up for people to decide whether
to
play.
I'll give some listeners some insight. I do know that, of course, Sean, we myself and you, I may or may not be involved in a offshore entity that allows the wagering on sports. But and I may or may not have introduced a lot of folks I know to this. A lot of folks. I get getting a lot of feedback from guys I work with or I'm friends with. Hey man, where's Frisco Warriors picks? Where's he? Like whenever he disappears for a couple of days, man, where's he at? That guy's hot.
Well, and some other guys coming in. We had a guy from England coming in with some soccer picks.
I told him, I'm like, man, we don't have a soccer guy yet. It's one of those things, man. We got our boxing guy. We got our boxing guy.
Vicious V's giving us a couple great tips
and
on boxing.
And, of course, everyone's into football and basketball. And we don't really have a soccer guy, and we're going to need it. World Cup coming up this summer, Sean.
Yeah, unfortunately, I'll have to get involved in that.
Yeah.
But, it's fun. Love you guys mixing up on the Twitter. I was just cracking up when they were sending screenshots back and forth of their big screen TVs.
Yeah.
But regardless, Dallas Cowboys got – shellac.
Oh, by the way, I have the same TV as Frisco Warrior.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Small world.
Well, it's a Samsung 65-inch, so.
Good solid TV.
We're both ballers. I don't have a fancy watch or a fancy car. I do have
a Honda Element. It's pretty
loud. I have hung out with D'Angelo Hall before. No picture to prove it.
Dallas Cowboys went into Chicago. Could not take care of business. Bears 45, Cowboys 28.
Cowboys took care of business. That's how they take care of business in December, Sean.
I know. It's weird.
They have covered 30% of their games in December since 2005. Something like that. Maybe it's a little bit less. I don't know. I was talking with some guys. So my routine for Monday night is I'm always like busy working, and I realize it's 4:45, and I'm like, shit, I gotta figure out what I'm picking. And so I start throwing ideas off all the people I work with that I know have any clue where the spread is. And I'm just like, you know what? We're overthinking this, guys. Tony Romo in December. And not – it's one thing if Tony Romo's at home or somewhere nice. But Tony Romo's going to Chicago. I had a buddy at the game. I text him. I'm like, dude, how's it feel? He's like, they're saying the wind chill's -5 right now. Boom. Give me those Bears. McCown looked great. The Bears looked –
yeah, I think that's really McCown in December. Now, how can Trestman start Jay Cutler next week? That's insane.
Again, I think people are overreacting. It's that whole what have you done for me lately? It's the recency law.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. He's not your future. He's older than Cutler.
Yeah.
And let's not forget, Cutler's had a pretty decent season. And Cutler can do some things that McCown can't.
I just don't like Cutler.
You don't, and that's fine. And I don't necessarily
from a plain and personality.
I don't necessarily disagree with you, but clearly it's Cutler's locker room. Clearly, Trestman liked Cutler. I think this is all generated by people outside of the organization.
But here's the thing:
look, when Brandon Marshall, who can be fucking as crazy as the next guy, comes out and they say, "Well, what do you do when Cutler comes back?" Cutler's our guy.
Now, but here's the thing. What do you do with Cutler in the offseason? Are you going to give him
a
franchise?
Agent?
Yeah.
He is a free
agent. Well, they're going to have to franchise tag him. Well, so I think franchise tag for QB, you're looking at close to $20 million. You can't pay Jay Cutler $20
million.
No. It's
a one-year lease. I mean, it's one of those things. $20 million for 1 year is a lot better than, you know, $60 million guaranteed over the next 6 years, whatever Joe Flacco got. But the point being, I don't disagree with you. I'm not sure if Cutler's the answer there, but I mean, I think there is some. I think there's. Look, they're new. Their offense is new, and they're starting to click. Now, who knows? Maybe the offense would be doing the same thing if Cutler hadn't got hurt. It could just be a product of, you know, the receivers are finally getting into it. Alshon Jeffrey is. Look, the difference in this team is Alshon Jeffrey.
Everyone thought I was crazy though when I said McCown is not a step down. If anything, it's a slight step
up. Yeah, so
my
argument would be, I think this the offense taking the steps that the offense is taking is more about Bennett getting healthy and Alshon Jeffrey. Something clicked with Alshon Jeffrey.
How many touchdowns did McCown score? 6?
Last night? 5. Oh, I know. I start him in fantasy. Sean, I don't disagree.
I mean, there's got to be something there.
But
he's
I
a poor man's Nick Foles.
I'll say this. We talked about this. I am in a league where I have RG3. I'm in the semifinals. I'm starting Jay Cutler this week. I think – I'm going to say it again. I think the fact that Bennett is healthy and Alshon Jeffrey figured out how to play, I think that's the big difference. Because now they literally have – not arguably. They have the best – they have a better receiving core than Denver. If you swap
them – the two best receivers in the league.
They're big. Well, look, Bennett's like what, 6'5", 6'6"?
Yeah.
Not Earl Bennett, Martellus Bennett, the black unicorn. Sorry, I should go by it. And then you have Alshon Jeffrey, who when he caught that ball, it looked like he was catching a little Nerf ball. I mean, phenomenal.
Yeah, I was listening to that play on the radio, and the guy lost
his
mind.
Oh, my goodness.
Couldn't even describe the play.
It was awesome. Anyway, Sean, pick him.
Let's do it. Check in.
Yeah, check in. You and I
felt like it was a good week for picks overall.
You are in 15th with 95. I am in 16th with 94. We're right there. First place, G Luna, 108. Looking to be close to locking up.
Where's G Luna's picks? Send those in, man.
Yeah, man. Hit us up on Twitter.
Maybe you just got to look at his picks, right?
You are missing out. Seriously, it's like he's been very consistent. Second place, I am a genius. Third place, or actually tied for second. Zimzum not done with 107. 108's the leader, sorry.
Where's Pickmaster at?
So that's pretty much the top three. Then you got E. White in fourth with 103. And Arach? I remember that from last year.
No, it's like
right?
A. Ratchety or something.
Whatever. A. Ratchet? A. Ratchet Ho? Maybe he's from Detroit. Tied with Mushing Picks with 100. I don't even see. Let's see. Who are some of the Pickmaster?
Yeah, where's Pickmaster?
Pickmaster, 97th and 11th place.
Okay.
We're going to have to get some more of the super fans in here, Sean.
Yeah.
Matty Lib, 21st place with 92.
Oh, good old Matt Lib.
Just
scanning through.
I
haven't heard from Pickmaster in a while on the gambling podcast Twitter. I think he's having a tough year.
Look. That's the number one thing you got to learn as a grizzled veteran of betting football. When you have that bad Sunday, you got to put it in the past. There's no point thinking about it. You're not going to think about, oh, I got to work more overtime this week because I just lost all this money. It's not worth thinking about. Just move on. Trust your ability. Maybe you don't have any ability. Well, in that case, you'll be down and out in 3 years. But look, you got to trust yourself. You can't start second guessing it. So moving on.
I like that pep talk to the degenerate gamblers out there.
It's true though. Like you can't. So many people like change the way. I mean, even we're guilty of it sometimes. Like you, for example. I'm never betting on Jacksonville ever again. And anyway, moving on. Leaguehead, Sean.
Yes.
Big battle. Battle tough between first and second this past week.
Oh really? What shook out?
Well, yours truly still on top. With a record of 12-1 and the biggest season wad in the league.
Really?
Oh, yeah. 87K, baby.
Wow.
Second place, the real Leagueheads, really representing their own site. So third place, the Bad Horse in prime position. Of course, Sean, you are in 15th place. But top eight make the playoffs.
Oh, okay.
So I don't believe you're actually eliminated yet.
I'll get out of here.
Because, of course, there are 17 weeks.
Where's my Vic in a box? I like that guy's
My Vic
handle.
In a box, 9-3-1. So here's the breakdown. Basically, my Vic in a box, the Bad Horse, the Real Leagueheads, and Kramer Centric, all locked into the playoffs. Fifth place, 7-5-1. Sean, 15th place. You're actually tied in for 15th place. 3-10. So
all right.
Look, there's 4 weeks left in the regular season. Top eight make the playoffs for the actual playoffs. Not like this fantasy bullshit, Sean, where it's all over in the regular season. Our playoffs are during the NFL playoffs.
I like that.
I do,
too.
You
guys are going to have to offer some prop bets in the playoffs to mix things up.
I don't think we're planning on doing anything crazy this year. All I know the only difference is that the final week will be a two-week matchup to cover conference championships and Super Bowl.
All right, I like it.
But it's going to weed out some of the junkies just betting stupid money line parlays and stuff. You're going to have to pick games. I actually made an agreement with the Bad Horse last week. No sway. Swayless week. Didn't matter. Still won.
I like it.
All right, Sean.
Let's do it. Let's break down week 15.
It's so sad. Week 15. Boy, Broncos. Chargers. Thursday night. Chargers getting 10.5, Sean. Wow. On the surface, San Diego coming off a big win. Perception may be a little high on them. I don't know if I necessarily believe that. This is probably the game they were looking at all along.
Yeah.
Denver continues to shellack folks, but Peyton Manning, I'll say this. He had a handful of throws that just didn't look right. He just throws floaters once in a while, and I don't know. I got to be honest with you. At 10.5, I got to lean towards San Diego here.
That last hook got me. I feel like an idiot picking against Denver once again at home.
It's tough to lose betting against Denver because you're just like, God damn it, like again.
But I like the Chargers. It's more just the Chargers are feisty. The Philip Rivers led team they fought, man. They've gotten some bad breaks. And they're definitely a team that's better than their record. 10.5 for a primetime division game. I'm going to have to take that.
Yeah, it does feel like – I mean, I guess the spread is pretty – I would have guessed the spread was going to be 8 or 9, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Only because I think this Chargers team is a little tougher than people give him credit for. I think Ryan Matthews could have a big game against this Broncos defense.
Wes Welker's out.
Wes Welker is out, and – although after Wes Welker went out, they didn't seem to have a problem scoring. But I don't know. We'll see. Next up, Sean, the Atlanta Falcons. So who thought they'd be favored again this season?
Wow.
And who thought they'd be favored again by 6.5 points? That's the contest line. I think this line has moved to 7 in most places. But in the LVH, it's 6.5. Kirk Cousins in, RG3 out. Still no word on Jordan Reed if he's going to be back from his concussion. I would lean towards no, being that 2 weeks in a row he was almost cleared and then had reoccurrences of symptoms like Saturday night. Everything in it, it's I don't know how you bet. You got to back the Redskins here. You got to back the Redskins here.
I feel like RG3. I mean, that whole lineman not picking him up, that whole thing, there seems to be something to
that. You know what? Watch this game. Let's see if the lineman picks Kirk Cousins up.
This game all of a sudden turned into a must-watch.
What if they don't pick him up either, and it's just the offensive line doesn't...
Supposedly, it's because of the preferential treatment and the way he's thrown him under the bus. Supposedly, RG3 has his own private parking spot, like,
oh my goodness,
hidden underneath the stadium. Daniel Snyder...
What is this... Like, what is going on?
Goes out to dinner with just him. And
what does he think he is, a white quarterback, Sean? Oh, man.
I don't know. That's just what I heard.
No, I mean, there's too many weird stories like this for it to not be true.
There's got to be something there. I think they kind of rally around Cousins a little bit, and I think they keep this close, if not win outright.
You know the saying, Sean, where there's smoke, there's fire? Well, in this situation, it seems like where there's flames, there's fire. Because there's too many things for it to not be true. It's just... Anyway.
RG me, baby.
RG me. Oh, Sean, your Arizona Cardinals. I'm going a little out of order here because things got flexed and rescheduled, but I'm going in order of the card. Cardinals, which is now a 125 West Coast kick. Cardinals head to Tennessee, where the Cardinals are laying 2.5. And... I'm a little nervous about this one. Carson Palmer on the road. Tennessee still in the mix, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, Arizona's really in the mix.
Arizona in the
mix. Honey Badger's out with an injury, so that's going to hurt their defensive backfield. But they still have a pretty strong defensive backfield, Ryan. And Arizona has played well on the East Coast. They gave the Eagles all they could handle. I mean, a lot of people thought they should have won that game. I mean, look at how they've played on the East Coast.
Yeah. I mean, it just seems like this is a get-righted. Look, I'm going to read something to you. Here's Tennessee's last three games. At Oakland, at Indy, at Denver. It's a get-right game at home, I think. I think they come home. I think people have seen them for the last 3 weeks not look as good as they are. Look, a three-game road stretch in the NFL is very rare. I mean, most teams don't have a three-game road stretch. So,
but I think this Arizona team has confidence.
Yeah, and they still have Carson Palmer. I'm going with Tennessee, grabbing the home dog here.
I'll take it at -2.5. Small road favorite.
Yeah, you like those small road favorites. Next up, Sean, New Orleans Saints, also a 125 West Coast kick now. They head to St. Louis, where the Rams are catching 6 points. Ugh, I don't know what to think about this, Sean. You go first.
Yeah, I'm the same way. Well, Ryan, what was the spread in that Arizona game?
What?
Arizona against?
Six and a half.
So they underperformed it by 14. Okay.
Yeah, they didn't.
Not a close your eyes special, but they did get kind of blown out. They are catching 6 points.
And they're coming home. Here would be my argument. I do actually know where I'm going with this. I just wanted you to get it out there first because I know I'm going to sway you with this
I'm
mad.
I'm a little on the fence.
Here's why. New Orleans, still not a great defense, especially against the run. What does St. Louis do? What's the one thing St. Louis does pretty well? They're going to pound the rock. Jeff Fisher's going to pound the rock. Their defense is going to hit. I think their defensive linemen are going to be able to get to Breeze on that turf. I think Jeff Fisher's not an idiot like some of these coaches who, for some reason, look, when you play New Orleans, you can't give up the seam routes. That's all they do, seam routes. What do? They don't guard them. They're just – look at the last game. Carolina, it was like they were lost. You can't play the cover two against New Orleans. You can't. They'll just shred you. You have to mix it up. I think the Rams are the play here, and I will continue to lose picking the Rams. I think the Rams are the play here.
I'll go with the Saints. I got Drew Brees in fantasy. New Orleans needs this game. They're in FU mode. They're in a dome. When you talk about their road record, you got to factor in the dome here. They play well in the dome. I think they show up.
Okay.
St. Louis is out of it.
Yeah, I can't really argue it too hard.
Give me the Saints.
All right, Sean. I think I skipped over a game. I'm getting back to it. Niners head to Tampa Bay. Third straight road favorite we're talking about. Bucks catching 5.5 at home, Sean. What are we missing here? What are we missing? The play here is the Bucks. The Bucks have been playing hard for Greg He's not getting fired at this point. And no. Glennon's their quarterback next year. They have Darrelle Revis to take away Crabtree or whoever they decide to take away. We know Colin Kaepernick struggles to throw the ball. Tampa Bay, really good against the run. Feels like a game. And for lastly, San Francisco laying more than a field goal anywhere, let alone on the road.
San Francisco, who'd they just play, Ryan?
The Rams. No, who'd they just play? Oh, and Sean, coming off a game against Seattle.
I was waiting for you to.
A very physical game. This has the makings of a... I'm not sure I understand this line. I think Vegas is confused too, which is why it's that at that weird 5.5. This feels really good.
Yeah, I like this Tampa Bay team. I think they're coming to play. Like everything you hit on, they've kind of rejuvenated themselves, and I think they definitely keep it close and possibly win outright here. So give me the Bucks.
Yeah,
it feels good. Bad spot
it's
for
almost,
San Francisco.
It's almost. Feels so good, it's scary.
A little bit, yeah.
All right, another road favorite, Sean. The Seattle Seahawks travel all the way to New Jersey, where they will be facing the Giants in MetLife Stadium. Justin Tuck says, don't worry, the Giants will be ready, because if you're not ready for the Seahawks, they embarrass you. Look. For the lack of, we don't need to break this down. I don't need to break this game down. And I really wanted to find a reason to not take the Giants. But at +7, you kind of have, the Giants are coming off a game where they looked like shit. Not in Seattle. Look, they played a tough game. I just think Seattle, again, they played a physical game. They're not the same on the road as they are at home. And, as much as you might not want to believe it, the Giants will not. The Giants aren't going to pack it in, especially at home. So,
yeah, I think this is kind of their last hurrah. They'll show a little pride here. You got a West Coast team going to the East Coast, non-divisional game. 7 feels this should be somewhat of a game. So,
I mean, this would be. They're saying this game would be 13 in Seattle. Minnesota
well, maybe
wasn't
even 14.
Minnesota wasn't catching that many points. So.
Yeah, I mean that's a little bit of a.
No, I'm just saying. I'm just pointing out that the Giants can do a little bit more on both sides of the ball.
You got Eli Manning catching 7 points at home. I think that's the play.
All right, Sean. Back to the home team being favorite. Cleveland Browns hosting the Chicago Bears, where the Browns are laying a point. This is definitely the first game of the weekend that has me completely confused. I understand the Bears are coming off a big win. I understand that Cleveland basically lost the game they should have won. But Josh Gordon, Jordan Cameron, they look great. Chicago's defense looks like shit, but I don't see anyone stop. I mean, I honestly don't see people, anyone, whether Cutler or McCown, I don't see anyone stopping this Bears offense. I'm not a believer in this Browns team.
Yeah, they seem in the zone.
Even though this is a total square, like the Bears are the side. I have a feeling the Sharps will be on Cleveland.
But this is just the Bears. They're in the zone. They play well in cold weather.
Bears back in the playoff race too. So
yeah, they have something
Cleveland,
to play for.
Not
Cleveland,
really.
No, they're not in the playoff race. And
well, I think technically everyone's in the playoff race, but
in the AFC. Well, except for like the Texans. Non-conference, late in the year. Cleveland, yeah. Who's their quarterback?
It's going
to
be Campbell.
Jason Campbell.
He looked all right.
I'll still ride with the Bears. They're playing hot. They're looking good.
All right, Sean. Your Indianapolis Colts, led by future Hall of Famer Andrew Luck, they host the Houston Texans, where, boy, oh, boy, Texans are catching 5.5. just I got to be honest with you. I the Texans still have a competent defense, and I'm not comfortable laying more than a field goal with this Colts team. The way that they are playing right now, the way that they cannot stop anyone. Why should I believe they're going to stop Ben Tate from running the ball? And their offensive line's not really been doing a good job. What do they get? This is another game. I don't really get the line. Am I crazy, Sean?
Are you crazy, Ryan? The line is Houston's horrible. They lost two games to the Jaguars. They're going on the road. They just had their coach fired. When it all comes down to it, four words, Ryan.
What?
Wade Phillips, interim coach.
There it is.
That's 5.5 points right there for me. I think the Colts show up at home, and they take care of business here.
Yeah, this is a game I won't be playing in real life. All right, moving on. Another road favorite, Sean. Buffalo Bills head to Jacksonville, where Jacksonville's catching 2.5. This is officially one of the worst lines of the year. I don't want to jinx it, but why is Jacksonville not favored?
When I saw this game, I was like, okay.
I thought it would be Jacksonville minus 2.5 or 3.
Yeah, I was seriously. Saying, like, I could make an argument for Jacksonville 3.5.
Yeah, I could, but honestly, I wouldn't argue with that.
Now, what is Buffalo? So they were in Tampa Bay. Did they fly home to Buffalo, hang out there, then come back down to Jacksonville?
Yeah.
Jacksonville's coming off a long week of rest. Everyone's buying into the program.
Yeah,
MJD is out, or possibly out. He's questionable.
It sounds like he's trying to play.
MJD's a baller, man. You got to give it up for that guy. He plays hard. He plays hurt.
Yeah, I just don't.
The play's got to be Jacksonville.
It worries me because I don't understand why this spread is like that.
Right, that's the only thing that scares me about this game. Makes no sense.
All
right,
it's a hamstring injury. He's going to try practicing Friday. It sounds like he doesn't know. Now, but honestly, like, I don't know if he's been a big part of their success anyway. I'm fine with them throwing Todman in there. So,
I'm just trying to make sense of why the line.
And as you know, Sean, rarely are non-quarterbacks worth anything at all on the spread, let alone maybe a half point. So,
yeah.
All right. Well, Sean, another road favorite. Patriots head to Miami, where the Dolphins are catching 2.5. Sean, I think this might be a bit of an overreaction to the Gronkowski injury. I'm also not a believer in this Dolphins team. I probably have gotten them wrong most weeks picking on them, picking the game. But I don't know. I would lean towards New England in this game. Don't feel great about it, but obviously, as long as it's not -3, I like New England.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with Miami. I just like Miami's a home dog. They're kind of coming together. Tannehill quietly having a solid
solid
year. Jeez, yeah.
Brady could be in FU mode, though, after the Gronk injury.
But the Dolphins always play New England tough for some reason. Yeah. This feels like it's going to be a close game, so I'm just going to take the points. I agree, though. If you're going to take Miami here and actually throw down some cash, I say wait around for that 3 because it'll show up somewhere.
I mean, of course, the reason Sean will continue year in and year out remind people that the Dolphins play the Patriots tough at home, even though it's not true, is because we once witnessed Miami as, 13-point underdog, debut the Wildcat from the sportsbook in the Venetian, where the only people who had money on the Dolphins were Sean and some dude who looked like he was straight out of Cocaine Cowboys. Tommy Bahama shirt, coked out smile.
The Dolphins money line was one of the greater bets of all time.
What'd you get, 5-1 on that?
Yeah, it was great.
Next up, Sean, another road favorite, Philadelphia Eagles, head to Minnesota, where the Vikings are catching 5. I don't think I'm going to be looking to play against this Vikings team. I don't think they've quit. I would probably reserve judgment on this game. Is Peterson playing? I know he said he was going to give it a shot, which probably means he's going to play because he's not human.
Yeah.
All of that being said, give me the Eagles. This Eagles team is on a roll. I don't want to be on the other side of it. Gerhardt and Peterson are both hurt, actually.
Yeah, Gerhardt tweaked his hand.
Yeah, and it sounds like Peterson just got out of his walking boot. So I don't know. I can't. I'm not going against this Eagles team the rest of the year.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to jinx it, but they seem to be clicking, seem to be gelling, seem to be playing well as a team. It's hard to really pick apart their. I mean, it's a pretty simple formula for success. You don't let
score points and don't let the other team score?
Yeah, they've kept teams under 21 points. They've won the turnover battle. They've gotten first downs, you know, running the ball and throwing. A pretty good balance, if anything, leaning on the run. You got the number one rusher in LeSean McCoy and the number one passer as far as QB rating.
Sure.
And you got a defense that's playing together. So, and they just seem to be getting the breaks. They seem to be getting the right penalties at the right times, the right fumble recovery. I mean, they led up two returns for touchdowns and still won by 14 points. That's a team who is
and that was the big thing,
right?
The Eagles were like one of the most unlucky team last year when it came to fumbles and recovering fumbles.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know.
The team seems to be buying in. It's tough to go against them, so I'm going to just ride them.
All right. Next up, the Carolina Panthers. After their demoralizing loss against New Orleans, they head home to take on the Jets, where the Jets are getting 11 points, Sean. Seems like a lot of points. I think the Jets might have trouble scoring 13 points in this game. I think Carolina makes a statement. In a rare occasion, I'm going to lay the points.
I'm going to have to go Jets here.
Okay.
I could see Carolina going blowout FU mode. Don't get me wrong. But my handicap of the game is you got two good defenses. Two good defenses, 11 points get you a long way.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I'm not sold on Geno Smith on the road by any means.
Yeah.
And if Carolina gets a defensive touchdown, which is very possible, they'll easily cover this. I still think 11's too high here. I mean, just the way I look at the spread, I think this has got to be like 9.5, 10.
Yeah, I
11 points is too much.
My only concern is that if the Jets defense has to play a good game for them to have a shot at covering. And
this Jets team is tough to get a read on, honestly.
Yeah, they suck when they go on the road. So.
Yeah, but you can still suck and cover an 11-point spread.
True. Next up, Sean, another road favorite. Kansas City heads to Oakland, where Oakland's catching 4.5. This is easy for me. Give me Oakland.
Really?
Fade in the public. I'll take the team that. I mean, look, I think this spread's a little inflated. I thought it would be more like 3, 3.5. I think Oakland is still. I think Oakland's playing hard. I think I'd be happy to take 4.5 at home here. And I just think Kansas City's not that good. I think people are overreacting to what Kansas City did last week.
Kansas City has nothing to play for.
Yeah.
And they just had a huge win. Now they got to go on the opposite side of the country. Oakland coming off a loss. What's killing me is reading press clippings that say, Oakland, yeah, we just got to be patient.
Yeah.
Never a great sign. You have Andy Reid, who is a competent coach, who's going to get these guys up for this game. Oh, man. At 4, I'm thinking about it. 4.5, I'm going to have to take the home dog here.
Yeah. All right. Next up. Cowgirls host the Packers. The line in the contest is 7.5. It's off in a lot of places because of the uncertainty of Aaron Rodgers. I think the Las Vegas hotel is clearly stating in the line that they don't think Rodgers is going to play. But 7.5 points, Sean, that seems like a lot.
It does.
That seems like a lot, but man, how bad are the Packers? I mean, do we really think they can cover this?
Packers are bad. Dallas's defense is bad. But Ryan, I'm actually going to have to take the Cowboys here.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you why. Dallas has definitely been able to bounce back after tough losses, so I think they kind of do here at home.
I'm going to take the Packers out of principle as this 0-for against the spread streak they're on without Aaron Rodgers. I'm standing by the numbers argument. Small sample size, Aaron Rodgers is not worth this many points. This spread would be Packers -3.
It very well could be. But give me the Cowboys.
All right.
-7.5. Crazy.
Next up.
Yeah, it's a little reverse jinx.
Yep. Win-win. Sunday Night Football. Bengals head to Pittsburgh, where the Pittsburgh Steelers have owned the Bengals over the years. But this is little brother's chance to take the goddamn, I don't know, whatever you take from your older brother. Bengals go in there. They're favored by 3. I think the Bengals roll. I think the Steelers are garbage. I think the people continue to think the Steelers are the Steelers of old. They're not. I really like the Bengals here.
I actually like the Steelers.
Why? What have you seen from the Steelers, Sean?
Sunday Night Football. They play competitive football. They were playing competitive against Miami. This is their Super Bowl. You got Tomlin. You got Big Ben. They're going to show up here. They're going to play Cincinnati tough.
Don't disagree. 3-point spread. I'm picking the winner.
All right. Well, in the same way, I think this is going to be a lot like that Ravens-Steelers game on Thanksgiving.
Perhaps. Last up, Detroit. Monday Night Football. Everyone excited to go to Detroit in the winter. Lions laying 6 against the Ravens. Wow, Sean. Looks like a great opportunity to take the Ravens, huh? Not so fast. I think this feels like a game Detroit blows out Baltimore. Absolutely blows them out. This feels like a game that can get away quick. I don't know, 38-13 type of game. I just think Detroit's really good on defense against the run, against the pass. And look, Flacco, for them, here's what I'll say. If Baltimore covers this game, it's because Flacco completed over 3 or 4. He has 3 or 4 completions of over 40 yards. That's the only way they compete in this game. It's indoors. If this game was outdoors, totally different story. But this is indoor. Totally fits the mold for Detroit needs this game. I know Baltimore does too, but
sounds like Reggie Bush will be back.
It's just a turf thing. It's just a turf thing that, you know, they, I don't know.
I think Detroit lights them up. I agree.
Not to mention that Baltimore is I guess they can't really look ahead, but they got New England and at Cincinnati the next. I think Baltimore loses this game, and it might not be close.
Well, and again, factor in the Pittsburgh-Cincinnati result. You'll be able to know that game. So, if Cincinnati loses to Pittsburgh on Sunday night, which
maybe
is not
you
out
look
of the
to
question,
take the Ravens.
I would factor that into your handicapping.
See, I think it's more if the Bengals win, I think you might just see a poorer effort from the Ravens. I wouldn't go the other way.
Yeah, if the Bengals win, the Ravens won't show up.
Yeah, but I'm saying I'm not sure I would. If the Steelers win, I don't think I'm going to look to back the Ravens still.
It makes me think about it a little
bit. I think
more.
If the Bengals win, it makes it a stronger play on the Lions.
I agree.
And I think that line climbs to 7. All right, Sean, lock of the week.
Oh.
I'll be quick. I'll make mine the Bucks plus the 5.5. I will make my money line. Dare I take the Giants, Sean? Did the Giants shock the world?
No.
Money line special. We said no 2.5ers, huh? All right, money line special. I go Rams upset the Saints. God, I'm doing it again with the goddamn Rams upset the Saints. Straight up, lock it up. And for my tease, a lot of good tease opportunities here, Sean. A lot of good 2.5-point spreads. But I don't know. For my tease, I don't see how you don't put. All right, let's tease the Bears up to 7. Let's tease the Lions to a pick 'em.
Okay.
And let's tease. God. You know what? I'll do this just for you, Sean. Let's tease the. Nope, can't tease the Colts. Wanted to badly. Let's tease the Patriots to plus 3.5.
Okay, Ryan. For my lock.
Do it.
They've come so far.
E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles.
I don't like that 4.5.
Okay.
I'll take the Jags.
Okay.
For my lock. For my upset special, I got the Redskins. And for my 3-team tees, I got San Diego up to 17 points.
Nice.
I got
Well, Colts. Really, it'd be 7. Well, What are you doing
16
here?
And a half.
It'd be 16 and a half. You're doing a six-pointer.
Yeah, sorry. Give me the Colts down to even or plus a half. And for my last leg of the tease.
Do it.
Give me.
Just hop on board with me. Lions, pick them. So, Sean, while you're thinking, we should also point out Redskins are a close-your-eyes special. They underperform the spread by over 21, and they're catching points. They are not
at home.
And it is in a dome. I like it a little in a new quarterback. A lot of variables there, but it's just one of those games you got to
last leg of the tease, I'll take the Saints.
Do it. Oh, hello.
Don't know how I missed that one.
Yep. All right, Sean, real quick, we got to touch on it. The only Division I college football game this weekend, the Army-Navy game, played in your old backyard.
Philadelphia.
Philly. Navy's laying 12.5, Sean. The over-under is 53.5. I'm guessing you know next to nothing about these teams. Who do you like?
I like Army getting the points.
All right.
Hey, it worked for Auburn.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to go Navy, and I'm going to – I just think – That God, I think Army's garbage. I think Navy's actually pretty decent. Navy runs away with this one. I mean, Navy almost beat Notre Dame, so Navy can actually play with teams. So, yeah, I don't know, Sean. What should we do about the bowls? I feel like we should do a little side bowl extravaganza.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We got a little time for that, though, right?
Bowl games start on the 21st, so we don't have a ton of time.
Okay.
I think we should put out something for the holiday season. Breaking down all the bowl games.
Bowl podcast for you.
All the lines are now out, or most of the lines are out. You know, the important ones are out, so.
All right, sounds good. And like we said, guys, hit us up on the Twitter, @GamblingPodcast. If you can do a little rating on the iTunes, that helps people find the podcast.
Rate it. What else can they do?
You can review it. You can say, awesome job, guys. Very entertaining podcast. Some people, we've actually got pretty good ratings. There's a couple of guys who have some pretty dumb comments. Like, some of their stuff were like, why did they just give out the Heat series price? Why not break it down? Blah, blah. Like, really inane comments.
Well, feedback. We can call it feedback.
Sure, feedback.
But be intelligent.
Yeah, if you like the show.
And to be honest, if you listen to the show and you follow it, if you give us suggestions of stuff to talk about, we will talk about it.
Yeah, no, we're always down to take notes. And, yeah, appreciate you guys checking out the podcast. A lot of fun for the Sports Gambling Podcast. I am Sean, stacking the money green, and he is Ryan.
Real quick, wanted to plug something, Sean. Going to be doing some form of playoff fantasy football like we do. Amongst ourselves, I was thinking we open one up to the listeners.
Whoa.
Makes it interesting. It's always a little fun to root for. So look for that coming up. I guess what? We'll start plugging it. Start opening it up week 17 there.
Yep.
Good time, Sean.
Kramer, let it ride.